Good morning. I picked up a golf club for the first time in the beginning of my fourth decade. Why? As an executive coach, especially in the summer, I heard the women complain. The men are out on the golf course and we're stuck in the office. And I heard it enough times that I thought, I wonder what this is about the game of golf. I didn't come from a golf family. I didn't go to a country club when I was young. I had no idea, but I was intrigued. And I realized that as an executive and as an executive woman, you at least must be in the conversation of golf. So I started taking lessons. And then I thought, great. And I was so gung-ho. I don't do anything halfway. Anything I take on, I do it fully. I joined an executive something lessons. It was raining. I showed up at my lesson. I was the only one there. My first swing was in a ballroom. And from the first swing, it felt magical. And I knew I had found my sport. There was no golf team when I was in high school or even in college for women. And I had never played competitive sports. I only knew I was competitive because I wanted to sell more Girl Scout cookies than anyone else, which I did. And I wanted to accumulate all those badges from doing different things. All right, let's fast forward. I took lessons in Voorhees, New Jersey, at a place called the Golf Farm. It's probably a condo complex by now. My first set of golf clubs, $300, they were called Pal Joey's. And I thought, Pal Joey's. All right, we didn't have a car at the time. We moved into town, got rid of our car, but you can't play golf and not have a car. So we got a car. We went to Eaglesmere, Pennsylvania. Has anyone been there in the Endless Mountains? Okay, mountain golf course. I'm ready to go. My first 18 holes. I've got my scorecard and we play. I had beads to count the number of strokes on each hole. My score, 172. I could have given up then, right? I mean, some people might just give up then and say, well, this is obviously not my sport. But what I said was 172. I can only get better from here. So we have to have the courage to be a beginner. As adults, we often don't like being a beginner. Why? It's embarrassing. It's uncomfortable. I remember being on the golf range and whiffing a ball. And I looked around to see who was looking at me and who saw me whiff the ball. And then I thought, why do I care? Why do I care? So we have to be willing when we take on anything new as an adult to look foolish and be embarrassed. Last night, PNC sponsored a women's collective at Torsdale. And they bought books for all the participants. I thought they were going to be in the goodie bag. Well, only to find out that I was doing a book signing last night for 50 people. But what amazed me was when they asked how many people were there for the first time, how many hands went up. So there were 56 women last night at Torsdale. And only a few were golfers, but they wanted to get in the game. And that was one of my goals of in writing the book, to get more business women into the game of golf. It's been a great business tool, but even more importantly, I've gotten to play at some beautiful courses with beautiful people. How many are golfers in the room? Just raise your hand. Wow, a lot. How many are recovering golfers? What I mean by that is you used to play, but you don't play anymore. Who's thinking about learning to play? Okay. A And who cannot understand why anyone would chase a little white ball around a golf course? I was there. I had an opportunity to learn to play golf at age 20, but tennis was big and the golf clothes for women were horrible. So for those two reasons, I did not take up the game of golf then. All right. So I've always wanted to write a book, but nothing quite felt right. I took a writing course about 2.5 years ago, maybe it was 3.5 by now. And they said, list out what you could write about. And what intrigued me was if I could impart the leadership lessons I've learned throughout my over 20,000 hours of executive coaching and over 1,000 seminars I've led, and I could impart that in a short, punchy, provocative book. That excited me. And then I thought, and if I can combine my passion for golf with my career, it motivated me to finally write. So a number of years ago, I did a program in New York, in Harlem, for high school students. Merrill Lynch sponsored it, and we called it MAGIC, Making a Good Impression Count. And then I had the brainstorm on and off the golf course. So I knew I had my title. My partner, Eric, has a beautiful home that he designed in Medford, New Jersey. So every Saturday and Sunday morning, I would get up early and have our two dogs, Maggie and Bella, at my feet, and I would write. And then I would share it with Louise, and I would share some of it with Eric. Louise and I had coffee together, and so you can't do things alone. That's another leadership lesson. You need to have your people around you to support you in your goals in business and in life. And then I had the idea to do a survey. So let me survey 100 golfers. How many of you were part of that survey? Yes, so Dennis, who also has a testimonial in the front of the book. You'll have to read his eloquent testimonial. And I asked Dennis to write a testimonial. He read the book that day, and the next day I had the testimonial. So for those that are not readers, if you read it from cover to cover, it takes about 90 minutes, 94 pages. If that's even too much time for you, you can pick it up for 5 minutes, read any of the chapters, but I call them hole one, hole two, hole three, all the way up to the 19th hole. And there are three magical nuggets at the end of each chapter. So in your fortune cookies, and we'll be using these in a little while, there's a magical nugget from the book in each of these cookies. So we'll be doing something with these in a little while. So I did the survey. So let me tell you the survey results. So the first question: when playing with one or more players, what matters to you most? So just yell out, what matters to you most? Having fun. Good chemistry. Camaraderie. Etiquette. All right, the answers of 100 golfers, 50 men and 50 women. 1, good company. 2, pace of play, and 3, good temperament. Playing around the golf with someone, you know whether you want to do business with them. Playing around the golf with someone, you know whether you would like them as a friend. Every emotion is possible on the golf course in 4 hours. It's a hard game. It's a small ball and it's a small head. All right? It's the hardest game there is. And why I think type A personalities like it is because it's a challenge. And you can never master this game. And as my friend Nikki would say, and she plays competitive golf all over the country, she's saying, my game right now isn't good. So you have to deal with the upset of having bad rounds, of losing competitions, and of feeling like you're not doing your best at that moment. Next question, or another question. What factors are most important in your professional relationships? So what factors are most important to you in your professional relationships? Trust. Loyalty. Integrity. Good communication. Collaboration. The three top, and there were many to choose from. They have integrity, they are reliable, and they are honest. Another question. Do you feel your attire has an impact on the way that you play? How many say, yes, absolutely. When I look good, I feel good. Raise your hand. Okay. How many? Yes, I feel I perform better when I am well-dressed. No, I have noticed no effect. Okay. All right, good. Have you ever conducted business as a result of playing golf? How many say yes? Wow. How many say no? Hi, Diane. Who has an empty seat? All right. How many say no? How many say it's not applicable? If you don't play golf, it's not applicable. Okay, great. Now, what are your pet peeves or something that drives you crazy during the round of golf? What drives you crazy? What's a people looking for balls? Okay. Slow play. Slow play. Throwing clubs. People complaining about slow play. Music. Music. What? Missing the ball when I strike. All right. Number one, slow pace of play ahead of you. Two, too many practice swings before hitting a shot. Three, others talking while I am swinging. So out of 100 people, those were some of the answers. You know what I found out from doing the survey, more than what I shared with you? That golfers like to talk about their game. They like to talk, and they like to talk a lot. You know how when you fill out a survey, you just do it as quick as you can? There were about 200 comments that people wrote about their game. One of my questions was, have you ever had a Tiger Woods moment? And that's where I got a lot and a lot of information. Now, what I also know, how many of you, your wives do not play golf? How many of you, your wives or spouses or significant others don't play golf? Okay. It will be very boring to them if you tell them about your shots. They really do not want to hear every detail about your shots. They may be pretending to listen, but believe me, they are not listening. So just, tell, but if you talk to someone else that plays golf, you're better off sharing it with them because they will be able to understand. Okay. So, the more I started playing golf, I realized that there is definitely a link between golf, leadership, and life. Mainly to learn about yourself. So, my first goal is always to have a good time. But what I learned was when I'm playing well, I have a better time. All right, so remember I said I really never competed other than with Girl Scout cookies and badges? I started competing almost immediately. So before the Union League bought Torsdale, my late husband and I drove up, and the book is dedicated to Don, by the way. And the message he said to me on his dying bed when I asked him if he had any advice for me, he said, trust yourself, be yourself, and love yourself. So I've certainly taken that to heart. So we drove up to Torsdale, and I said, I just want to drive around the golf course. And he said to me, you don't drive around the golf course before you play a course. And I couldn't understand why. I think it is really helpful to drive around the golf course because then you can see which way the green slopes, which way the fairway goes. You can get the big picture. Anyway, only to find out later, the pros always drive or fly around the golf course before they play. Torsdale at the time was in bad shape. For lunch, they had a tuna salad sandwich, chicken salad sandwich, and soup, basically. I mean, it was really on its way down. So after driving around the golf course, I go and we go in to have lunch, and I see this table of women. So I go up to them and introduce myself. They said, do you play golf? I said, yes. They said, will you join the team? They didn't ask me my handicap. They didn't ask anything other than would I play. I find out there's only seven of them, and they all had to play every gap tournament unless otherwise they would lose a point. So at that point, they just wanted another warm body. So if something happened to one of them, then it would, you know. So I started playing with them. So what I realized is that we have to be willing to introduce ourselves. We have to be willing to go up to people. It has been so thrilling to be part of the golf team at Torsdale. So there was only one team at the time I started playing, and now we have two full golf teams and enough alternates. The relationships I've built with them, starting on that day over 2 years ago, has been some of the greatest relationships in my life. So I started playing. I'm also a member of the Pyramid Club. They had an outing. There's a men's division and a women's division. Well, there were a lot of people in the men's division. I think maybe there were three or four of us in the women's division. So I got to take home a trophy as the women's champion at Pine Hill Golf Club, which is now Trump, which is now the Trump Golf Club in New Jersey, July 14th, 2003. Also, the Union League did not have any golf courses. We had a golf club at the time. So I played at Little Mill on May 6, 2003, and I won low net. So for those that don't know, it's the gross minus your handicap gives you low net. What I love about the handicap system is it makes golfers even. So anyone can win on any given day. I also, at DuPont Country Club, August 2002, won low net. So you get to play at beautiful, beautiful places and meet great people. So I urge people to compete because you get better. when I compete, I focus more. And that's why I compete. Over 4 hours, it's very easy to lose your concentration. So just like business and just like life, the more we can focus, the greater success we have, which is harder than ever today with all the distractions. All right. Let me pull out my driver, my Exios driver, by the way. How many people are a sucker for new clubs, the new technology? Yeah. You know, you have to ask yourself, is it the technology I need, or do I need to get better? You know, and that's an important question. Is it my swing? Is it something, or is it the technology? Technology has improved. All right. The driver, if we think about business and we think about life, it's our mindset. It's how we see something. And we have to be willing to go up to the first tee of life, whether it's whatever new endeavor, and be willing to step up to that first tee with the jitters in our stomach. Why? We want to get set. We want to start off well. I have in my head, in terms of mindset, if the first shot is good, the round's going to be good. If the first shot isn't good, you know, I'm going to have to grind it out. So the driver to me is our mindset. All right. So say you get in the fairway. The next club takes a lot of thinking. It takes our cognitive ability. So if I know my yardages, and it's important to know your yardages, how many and which clubs is it going to take to get to the green? It's the same thing in business. We have the big picture. We need to see where we're going. Then it requires us to really think. Our cognitive abilities, in order to plan out and execute what's going to get us to the goal. So if you think about it, the second shot, maybe a wood, okay? It may be an iron, and it may be a hybrid. So what's a hybrid? A hybrid is a combination of a wood and an iron. It's to get us out of some tough spots. So if you think about your toolbox and your toolbox of skills, what skills do we need in order to have us reach our goal? What skills do we need to acquire? So AI right now is a hot topic everywhere, but we need to think in order to know, to ask AI the right questions in order to get the results that we need. So golf, business, and life, there's a total consistency. All right, so say we're around the green. We have a variety of wedges. What are the wedges that are going to get us to land softly on the green? The wedges are the feel. We need some finesse. Otherwise, we're going to go in the trap, or we're going to go over the green. How do we recover? That's one of the most important skills in life, is how we can recover from our mistakes. And if we're not willing to fail, we're not going to succeed. That was the other thing I saw. Golf is a hard game. Life is tough. Business is tough. It only takes survivors like us, like the people in this room, that have the capacity to compete, to learn, to grow, to fail. people that are members of the Union League have been willing to go through that process and are still willing to go out that process. Let's take a look at the putter. The putter is about composure. It's about composure under pressure. Our drive and our putts are the same one stroke. Our drive and our putt are the same one stroke. The putting is where we win the game. We need a good chip to have a good putt. We need a good approach shot in order to have a good chip. So it all links together. So when we're looking at that little hole and the little ball, how do we center ourselves? How do we be still enough and composed enough with three other people watching to make that stroke? We have to be willing to live our lives somewhat publicly. It's more comfortable to be private, but if we can perform with other people watching, we are ahead.